Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Hey, friends, good evening, and welcome to Raising Expectations, your show. A great way to start Monday nights to see what God's doing and to hear from very special people like our guest tonight. I know that you've been checking in and you're very excited that Dr. Pamela is with us tonight. She'll be with us in just a bit here, and it's going to be a great evening discovering what God's doing in her life, through her life, to so many countless people. So Monday night's a great way to start Raising Expectations because you got the rest of the week to watch God work. And you know us, we're all born again believers. We believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We believe that God sent him to earth for a reason, to die on the cross. He was born to die, to live again, that you and I might have our sins forgiven and that we might experience life now and forevermore. And that gives a whole new vision to who we are and what life's about. The world's worried all the time about what's next. We know that God is with us in each and every day. He has a plan for us individually. That's awesome. He has a plan just for you. Have you ever stopped to think how awesome that really is? I believe he's got a plan just for our president. He showed him. He met him face to face in Pennsylvania, and we've been seeing God work in his life incredibly ever since. May he continue to walk with his eyes on the Lord, as do those who follow and lead our nation. So tonight, we're excited that you're with us. We have a wonderful team. Again, these people are the Raising Expectation teams, the people that after 55 years of ministry, these people have blessed my life more than anybody I can imagine. So we're going to take you on a quick trip again. So strap in, hold on. Last week, somebody almost fell out. We don't want that to happen. So hold on. We're going back to the West Coast, to Lompoc, California, which is near Santa Barbara. And that's where Dr. Hall is. He's waiting there for us. Good to see you, Paul. Got it right this week.
You did. So, it was great. Good.
Yeah,
thanks.
Changed the map last week by mistake. San Jose, right. Farther north. Yeah. So good to see you. How you doing? Good?
Good. Good. Thanks. Good to see
Amen.
Y'all.
Paul's a retired pastor, but pastors never retire. He's such a godly man. He knows the word of God. He's blessed people. He's a counselor. He works with people in so many places, and he's been my brother in the Lord. He's closer than he's my physical brother. 55 years we've been friends since way back in college. So we've had a great time in those years. Sure, good to see you, Paul. All right. And we're going to join together here and rocket to the East Coast, the south part of the East Coast. Always want to make sure that that's in the great metropolitan area of Dalton, Georgia, just above Atlanta, not too far there. And there we're going to find Steph Thayer and Dr. Craig Thayer, who we'd endearingly call Tank. They're in Dalton, Georgia. And Steph, and I'm going to ask, as we look through this, I'm going to ask to bring up our website. TJ always has that, bbsradio.com/raising expectations. And there it is. And you can find more about our people as you go onto our website. Stephanie has an incredible background in health and business and health wellness. And she has a website there you're going to want to check. It's called Live Your Life Upside Down. And what that means is God grabs a hold of your life and really works you. So when he gets you right where he wants you, you live your life out loud because he's taken your life and shaken you and put you into position that he wants to use you in a special way. How am I doing, Tank? Anyway, moving right along from there. Live your life out loud. You're going to find all the resources of what she does. Folks, someday if you could ever turn in before we put the show on there, you'd realize why we are like this. We have such a good time together. So you want to go to Live Your Life Out Loud. It's on our website. Find out what Stephanie does. She's a counselor. She's a great character. She'll tell you so many things. But the best thing is she has the love of God that shines through her life. Ladies across the nation want to hear more about that, and they trust this lady to share with her, and they do. So, Stephanie, we appreciate, love you. I'm so glad you're here. And the next book, you can use a new title. You know, that'll work really good for you. So, anyway, right next to her left, is her husband, and that's Dr. Craig there, who is a trauma surgeon. I'm always blessed by trauma surgeons because when everybody's trying to figure out what to do, they say, "What do we do now?" And as I always say, the first time I met Craig, he said, "I ask, these are my hands. God, they're your hands. Use them. Show me what to do to help understand how to heal and take care of this life. It's been in a terrible accident." So Tank also, not only is a surgeon, he's a missionary surgeon. The two of them have done missionary work together in the Caribbean, I believe, and over in Africa also. And he's told us about that story. And you find more about that when you read and get to know him in his book, which is called Saved. And that's on our website also, Saved. If you want to get a copy of that, it's one trauma surgeon's true accounts of the miracles of his life. And I love this subnote, finding God in the ordinary. So often I get texts from you during the week, God's at work in the little things of your life. That's what makes it special. People who really love you don't look for the big picture. They look for the little needs you have, and God grows and grows that way in your life. So finding God in the ordinary, Dr. Craig Thayer, you'll find about his life and find what he's doing and what God has done in his life. Also, there's our book, my book there, Legitimate Faith, Producing Authentic Hope. Faith is FAITH, which stands for, as you know, forsaking all. I trust him. So, and that produces an authentic hope, and it produces it in your life on a daily basis as you trust and follow him. There's nothing more exciting than knowing the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior and walking with him each and every day. And the world may not understand it, but they will get the picture sooner or later as you follow him. So, we want to invite you to check out our books there that are on that website and go from there. And I hope they'll bless you as prayerfully they bless other people. So along the line also, we have another great guy on our team, and that's Dr. or Pastor Ron Greer, and he is in somewhere right now. But we don't know. But don't worry, he may come up. Somehow I didn't get the signal. And that's Ron Greer. His picture's not as handsome as he is in person, right, guys? So anyway, he'll be back with us next week if we don't see him tonight. I don't have any note on there, but he must have been called in an emergency. He speaks and counsels and helps people through Man in the Mirror, which helps men to understand who they are, to build onto the things that looked like disasters that God turned into miracles in their lives. And Ron's a great brother in Christ, one of our favorite pastors in the great state of Texas, that, as he often says, upon which the entire United States stands. The leg of Texas supports the nation. We're not sure about that, but Ron's got a good sale pitch on it. So anyway, you'll want to get and check in on him and see what he's doing. So as we come back across the nation here, we'll want to take you with us to back through Texas, all the way actually to the East Coast again, I imagine, to South Carolina. We have with us again, as you're going to see, Dr. Pamela Pyle, and we call her Dr. Pamela. I love somebody like that who shares the first name with people this way. She has shared with us 2 weeks ago, and she's a board-certified internal medicine physician and over 3 decades in the United States hospitals. And she works with communities throughout Rwanda. She speaks and writes nationally and internationally on topics of evangelism, women's discipleship, health equity, healthcare, and the end of life care. And it's incredible. You want to write a couple of these sites down. DrPamela.com, www.drpamela.com. Her book that she has now, Anticipating Heaven, Spiritual Comfort and Practical Wisdom for Life's Final Chapters. Friends, this is an outstanding book, and we're all going to be talking tonight about this. It talks about, I'm going to let her share with you what happens when you come to face the reality. And I don't know about you, many of us we never get old, but we get into our 70s, and all of a sudden we begin to think about things that the Lord's closer. There's less coming this way than there is that went that way. And we all know that as we see on gravestones, we live our lives in the dash, not the first year, but the second, not the year we die, but on that dash in the middle. And it's what we do on that dash that God shows us that he's there with us. Dr. Pamela has so many insights, and we're going to be sharing some with you today. If we have a chance right now, we'd like to show you the trailer that went out for her book, just one of them. She has many. Are we able to show that now, TJ?
He wrote one moment.
Oh, sorry. He wrote one moment. Okay,
yeah.
That's not a problem. And you'll see in this trailer, she's just a personal lady who has a heart for God, who her patients must have really appreciated her for many, many years, just like with Tank. And this book helps us to think about heaven in a way that's an anticipation rather than I'm afraid of what I don't know. Because when we walk with Jesus, we really do begin to see things. And the realities that are on the pages of the Bible become the things that we live for in our life. And they've just become real to us. So we have a trailer, I think.
He's ready.
It's running. There we go. Thanks. Thanks, TJ.
When was the last time you thought about your end of life? My guess is probably not lately. Even after 30 years of practicing hospital-based medicine, I hadn't thought about it either until one patient declared on her deathbed, "It's okay, I will have a good death." Her good death began my exploration of studying death, dying, and suffering, and what that meant for me personally. I wrote Anticipating Heaven because I realized that that understanding of death brought clarity to life, and I want that for you. I also wanted to offer you wisdom to navigate the physical challenges and the healthcare system, peace for the emotional turmoil that may come your way, but most importantly, hope. I want you to have hope. Hope that only comes through faith. I want this for you because you matter to me. You matter to others, but most importantly, you matter to God.
Boy, those are three words we all need. Hey, we want to welcome right now Dr. Pamela with us. And we're going to do our famous welcome for you. And it's known around the world. And welcome to Raising Expectations. There we go.
It's very official.
I love that. Is it clockwise or counterclockwise, or does it matter?
If she goes one way, I get the other.
We asked you a question last week, and boy, it just launched. It was such a great question you had. What inspired you to write Anticipating Heaven, and why do you believe it's important for Christians to read this? Boy, I've had people all week texting me, Dr. Pamela, saying basically what Tank shares so often, too, that we are not fearful like we were before. We know verses in the Bible and all, but all of a sudden, they became something real. The way she worded these things made them become real to us. And I hope a lot of them are buying your book. So we're just going to turn this to you, and we're here with you. And thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much, all of you all. And I love this around the world. I'll travel with you. Excited to do that tonight. And I'm actually very honored to be in this setting. And very thankful.
Blessed.
Well, I got to say, I've been bragging about you the whole week.
It's true.
Because most doctors are like logistics, right? Get your power of attorney, your advanced directive, your DNR, get hospice, all the logistics of, you know, end of life stuff, and not the spiritual lead, which is what you do. And so I'm like, what a genius thing to think of and do.
I'd like to take credit for the genius side of that, but I'm really not a genius. But I know our Lord and Savior is, and so I try to listen to him and have him guide me not only in patient care, but in writing this book. So it's all about him, ultimately, and he's our comfort, he's our hope. And the reality is that, when we get a diagnosis, we can have fear, and that's normal. But we also can have hope, and hope evolves over the course of an illness, and even over the course of our life. And as we get closer to the ending, we begin to hope not only for our family and those we leave behind, but we're looking to like this amazing place that we've all read about and heard about. And it's kind of exciting. I don't know about you. It actually is very exciting. And when I think of that, even in the context of my own ending and being able to share that hope and excitement with patients is such a gift from God. And I'm so thankful to be used in this way and this time.
Amen.
So I heard that your kind of shift evolved during COVID. Is that accurate?
It was right before COVID, but COVID gave me an opportunity to, really spend some time with this kind of processing of really my own mortality as we were processing, so much death and so much suffering and emotional pain that still exists today for many. And it was a terrible time, and it's kind of a little bit almost crazy that we actually went through that, and it seems almost easy to forget. But it's not easy for those that have lost someone or that are still affected by the effects of COVID. But it did bring the topic of our own mortality more to our consciousness and discussions and in homes and in churches and neighborhoods, community events. So it was very difficult. I'm
I
sure take living through this as a physician also, seeing it firsthand, just
that's where I was gonna go was I'm not medical at all, just married to one. And we anticipated you're probably gonna die. We had a whole setup because about a third of the physicians at his hospital retired immediately. They freaked out, a much older population of physicians. And so he was in there. We had a whole system. And I find your embracing and reaction unique. So I'm curious if you want to share about that, because I know for the medical workers, it was such a taxing time. I mean, I know for the lay people, we were all impacted by those that we know that went in and out, but you guys had a very different view. It was constant and it was draining and breaking people. And so I saw a lot of medical professionals go totally the other way. And you're looking at it and going, okay, what's the spiritual reality here and how do we lean into that? So I'm curious if you had any thoughts around that.
I don't want to criticize those that stepped out. There's a lot of different reasons for that, but I think as warriors for Christ, we don't step out of difficult things, and actually feel more called into difficult things. And when you feel called by God, and there's such a great need, As hard as it is, when you lay your head finally on the pillow, you will know you have run your race well that day. And you know, don't we all? Everybody on this call wants to run their race well every single day, and finish with hearing that phrase. And so I can't imagine doing anything else. I actually volunteered to go to New York when they were at their worst, but I had a couple of medical conditions that kept me from going. I actually was disappointed to not be there when there was so much difficulty and loss and pain and suffering and need. You know, it's the same reason I do missions in Rwanda, because, you know, the need is so evident, and you just feel God's presence when you're working, you know, serving the Lord in that capacity.
Very true.
Yeah, I was blessed to go to Uganda. It was just north of you. I think we actually flew to Rwanda first and then up to Uganda. But and didn't allow surgeons to operate there, so it was acting like a internist family practice. But they had a bunch of people with malaria and typhoid and diseases we don't really see that much anymore. HIV is still there. But yeah, so I think people told me every time they looked over at my table, I had their hands or had touched somewhere praying for them. So I just let Jesus do the work.
Which is actually quite funny, because one of my best friends wrote to me. She said, "Every time I turn and look at your husband, he's praying with people." And that's not your natural disposition. You will pray with people, but it's not like your first response. So I love that sometimes God also strips us of other things so that what we're left with is fully leaning into him, right?
Amen.
You
That's
know,
right.
and the reality is, so many of the miracles that Jesus did were related to health. And that's meeting people where they are and in their need. And so for a white person, what we're called Mzungus in Rwanda, I think it's the same for Uganda. They just feel so grateful. They understand how far we've come to be with them. And even if we don't have all the solutions, we can pray with them. But Tank, we built a hospital in Rwanda, so maybe we can figure out a way to get you to teach some of our people over there.
Oh.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Would be.
Paul, you got a thought?
Well, I was thinking about the show this afternoon, and an old song by Twyla Paris came to my mind, and those words in her song, she said, "They don't know that I go running home when I fall down. They don't know who picks me up when no one is around. I drop my sword and cry for just a while, because deep inside this armor, the warrior is a child." And I thought about those words and how prophetic on the one hand, and how present tense they are on the other, because I think, and I'm not a healthcare provider or specialist, but I've had the privilege of talking and sharing time with Tank and some others. But I think that we sort of expect the healthcare workers to be the ones who jump in first, and how tenuous that is, and how much that extracts from your inside, your heart, your energy, your spiritual tank, and how important it is to refill that tank. So, Dr. Pamela, what are some things that you do to refill your tank so that you can pick up your sword and get back in the battle? How do you, in the midst of processing all of this, what re-energizes you to open the door and give it another shot?
For me, I wake up at 5 every morning, and I spend my first hour with the Lord. And it's, with worship music is how I begin, then prayer. And I'm currently in a reading the Bible through a year, so I do that. And then I just try to be and to sit with literally open hands and open heart of what the Lord's going to do that day. And I call it anticipating the day, and I anticipate what he tells me that morning. So that's, a daily ritual. We live on the waterway in South Carolina, so we always spend our evenings, just my husband and I, and we have our youngest child is home for a little bit, but he lives in Tokyo. But we've become empty nesters, so we've had to, adjust to that. But we love just reflecting on the day together. And then, most soul feeling time is when I'm in Rwanda. It is like a gush of soul feeling when I go there. And so I'm excited to be going in a couple weeks. And I head there about 3 times a year. So that's my big. But I mean, what do you guys do? I'd love to learn from you because you're all so unique and have your warriors also. So love to hear that.
Deaf tank.
First.
I'm such an ADD squirrel. I listen to sermons all day long, unless it's really stressful at work, and then I can't because I have to listen to the sermon. And the house is full of worship music. There are seasons that I'm really good about first thing in the morning and other seasons where I am not. But one thing that's very consistent, I wake up, whether it's in the middle of the night or when I actually wake up, singing worship songs almost always. And sometimes I'm praying. And so I'm thankful that he's top of mind. I know that's a regular thing for me. I smiled at your Bible in a year for like 5 years. I did the chronological Bible, which I really liked, and now I'm just kind of Bible roulette, and I'm in Joshua, and I'm enjoying it. So, mixing it up.
That'll work. That'll work. Amen.
Actually, in a lot of prayer groups, I actually rushed home to get on this from a prayer group. So, seeing the power of prayer coming together, I always like to pray on my own, but that's not something I've always done in my walk. And it's really beautiful to be a part of and to watch. So,
That's wonderful.
yeah.
Man, it's great stuff.
All right, man, you're up.
Better
Vision
up.
for beauty.
That is it. You got
Got
that one right. You got that one right.
You hit me already. It's okay.
I know. Thanks, dear.
You're welcome. I'm here.
Yeah, I love what you said about the power of prayer groups. I don't know. You go through school and you pastor churches and you have a lot of wonderful things. You can look back at the power of God, but there's something about what you're both saying about early in the morning, the power of prayer. It's like I have this bird that sings all night outside the window. I think he's electric. I don't know, but he sings all night. There's a couple. He's a beautiful song. If I could sing it, I'd show you. But he's always chirping, and it makes me in the morning when I lay there thinking. Well, all the things I prayed about, all of a sudden it's like that's the time God says back to me what he's doing in it. I pray for all of you, and you come to mind, and your schedules are so busy, but Dr. Pamela, we pray for you, and people cross my mind, and it's like he says, and I'm doing this. He never says exactly what, but he says, I'm doing this. I pray for my brother up there. We've been praying for each other for so long, but we always feel it. And in that early morning, like you're saying, I feel that power of what he's doing. There's nothing like prayer. And the older I get, the more special it gets. It ties in with what you're saying about anticipating heaven. So beautifully put here. I like this one where you say, "My faith comforts me in the truth. And while we can't control how many days of life we get, we can choose how we live those days." That was a really important one that jumped out at me there. But I think that that is the power of prayer comes alive at that point. And I like not only that, but I'm going to show my age. My daughter's probably listening in Ohio. She's going to say, "Oh no, Dad, not that stuff." But Roger Braland and Truth. I mean, 30 years hearing Truth sing. And those songs, when I hear those songs that the Truth sings, I just feel like something good is about to happen. And all these great songs. And he also had one where he sings the verses of the Bible. I mean, I just water up. I'll be standing there in line at Walmart and they'll say, and I have to forget it because it comes. So it's so real to me. Those things are important. I'm like you, and there's my protection right there. Anyway, so prayer is more real than it's ever been. God's working things in my life right now. I'll share with all of you great things are coming, and also music. I think those two things I water. I like praise music, but I love my truth music. How about you, Paul?
We had a ministry in our in a church here in Lompoc, and it was called Celebrate Recovery. And one of the things about Celebrate Recovery is that there's a truth in that where it says you're only as sick as your secrets. And there's such a depth. So I'm going to tell you a secret, okay? And so because I don't want to be sick. How's that sound? As a pastor, and maybe Joe never experienced this, but it's something I've experienced. For 55 years, when you read the scripture, or when I would read the scripture as a pastor, it would seem like I was always looking for something. In other words, looking for information, or when I'd read something, I'd say, "Oh, that's good." I'd start taking notes and run off that rabbit trail for a while. Just the joy of reading his word is a discipline that's really been tough to develop because you're up against timelines. You got Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and then whatever else you're involved in, kind of things like that. But to read the word just for the joy of the word, and I found that I need to delve into different translations because it jogs my mind and makes me think of in different ways sometimes. And so that's a great help to be able to do that as well. But that's been a discipline I've had to work on and develop along the way. It's just read it for the joy of reading it, and not automatically pulling out my notebook and going A, one, two, three, and just saying, "Gee, Lord, that was good." I mean, that's good. Very quickly, I had a friend named Michael Wright in when I pastored in Hayward, California, and Michael's eyesight was so horrible. He wore these really thick glasses, and he had to hold the Bible about 6 or 8 inches from his eyes when he would read it. But the marvelous thing when I would get to spend time with him, he would hold the Bible up and he would walk back and forth and back and forth. And when he'd find something good, he'd go, "Woo, woo," like that. And that woo, when I'd hear woo, I knew that he was going to hit the floor because he would go down on it, just on his stomach, and he would just, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord." And he'd get back up and he'd walk and he'd read and woo. So I search in my own heart for the liberty. Is that a good word? The liberty to enjoy God, to enjoy His word, and to have those woo moments, because they're so critical to our lifeline, our livelihood. It's what keeps us going. Is just the joy, and so I find that so. I don't know if that helps, confuses, or goes around the world. I just think it's a matter of each of us have our own journeys, and sometimes, they're different, but talking about them sure helps clarify, and I appreciate that.
I thank you for your like authenticity and transparency. I can't imagine what it's like to be a pastor and you're using the word as a profession and as a professor of the word, but that kind of childlike abandonment, for all of us when we have those moments like a child and we're getting a woo, it just it's so emotionally impactful. I'll say that I love praying for people and I love sharing the gospel, and that is another soul feeling thing is just, I had a lady at Target today, and I haven't been to Target for a long time, actually probably 2, 3 years. And I finally went to Target. I had to get something. And she was drawn to me because of my service dog, and she lost her dog. But she, in our discussion, she was visiting our area because her mother was dying. And we just sat there and talked for probably an hour. And she watched my purse, so I ran out and got her a book, to help her through this journey that she was on, and then to pray with her. And I walked out of Target not with the things I needed or went to get, but what I was meant to get and went meant to give. And those opportunities are around us all the time, and they are soul filling. I just want to say one thing, to Stephanie, her great love of worship, and all of us, worship music, whatever, like, speaks to our heart, whether it's the hymns and traditional or contemporary music. There's something about that that I think helps take down our guard and our restrictions, and so I love that. In fact, my next book is called Praising My Way Home, and it's going through the hymns and the stories behind them, but also kind of a journal to be able to write down what you would want as you praise your way home. And then the music group Shane and Shane are doing a companion album with these songs. And they do, Joe, they do an incredible, if you've ever listened to Shane and Shane, they have so many of the Psalms, especially, put to music, and it's just beautiful.
That's great. Anticipation already for that. That's great.
One of my friends in prayer, she gets song, and she has a beautiful voice. Like, I get songs, but I'm not singing them in front of everybody. And she actually did "Holy, Holy, Holy Lord God Almighty" tonight too. And it was, I haven't sang that song in such a long time. And it was amazing how everyone, it didn't matter the age, there were like 20 of us, everyone sang it together. There's certain things, and I love singing. Husband not so much, boys not so much. What's really interesting, you were in the choir at church to look at the girls. Smart move.
Secret.
But our boys really like prayer. And our church leaves a lot of room for prayer. So it's interesting because I do feel like we're all wired a little bit different, and we are meant to worship. We're going to worship something. So are you going to worship the Lord, or are you seeking all these other worldly things to worship, right?
Exactly right. Music is just the very soul of man. Shoot, all the way back. Sometimes I find myself early in the morning, Steph, thinking about the great hymns. Every hymn is a message. All you got to do is take the words and it preaches the gospel right there to people.
Yes.
But I mean, we used to sing, you know my story. I started singing the wrong direction, but and would end up like Glen Campbell, bless his heart. But then you have Paul and I, we sang in college together. We used to sing all over. And then you look back and that seems so ancient. Then you see God put it together. And part of the strength comes that is an impetus to prayer is look at the mosaic in your life behind you. You're worshiping and you're singing stuff, and your choir assistance tank, that's important too. But you look back at all those things in your life. There's a mosaic behind you which God wants to reach back and draw from. And then when you meet those divine appointments like you do at Target, he reaches back into those and gives you something out of that mosaic that makes it personal, while he gives you something spiritual in your life that makes it spiritual. And the two come together, and that makes it believable, open, and acceptable by somebody who may not know Christ, but is so hungry for something. And I think the older we get, the more real that becomes. Like Paul is saying, it becomes real with God and it becomes real with those around us. I can't believe how many divine appointments I run into too, Dr. Pamela. All wherever I go, and we talk about that sometimes, and they're related to this, that, or the other, and total strangers sometimes. But God opens that door, and it takes very little. And I think that's important. I really do, and I'm thankful that that's a new part of my life. As many days as God gives me, that's a part of what He's doing in my life, and I'm thankful for that. So, Paul, we got time. You got a thought on that?
Well, Dr. Pamela, I have great respect and thank for what you do and how you interface with people. Let me just throw a theological question out for you, okay? Do you think that God will allow more than we can bear to come into our lives?
His word says no. I think there are times that we feel that what we're going through feels unbearable. And sometimes I think I might have shared this the last time. During one of those times in my life, I didn't know how to sing. I didn't even know how to pray, and it felt unbearable. But I did know how just to lay my head on my Bible, and God comforted me there. And I say what he made the terrible bearable. And I survived that suffering, and in reflection, I wouldn't change anything about it. In fact, so many people wish to be younger or wish they'd done that, or would, I've made a lot of mistakes in my life, a lot of regrets. But it's also, been a part of my journey to where I am now. And that's just at the foot of the cross, knowing I'm a sinner saved by grace. And my Lord loves me so much. He'll go to the ends of the earth to bring me to that foot of the cross, and sometimes that's through pain.
I think sometimes people who are not believers kind of get the wrong idea. I think they think you like you Christians are just happy and you don't know what's real and you wear a smile and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and goes on like that. But the Apostle Paul, he wrote an interesting thing in 2 Corinthians, in chapter 1. He said, we were so, and speaking about himself, we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. And to be able to communicate that we know what that's like, we know how that feels, and point them towards grace. Were it not for grace, we'd all fall apart. Or we'd recognize that we are apart. We've fallen so far. But I love what you said about that. Jesus, the Lord, would go to the ends of the earth to redeem us, and that's essentially what he did. He went to the ends of the earth. And I've heard preachers say, if I were the only one, he would have died for me. And I believe that. I believe his love is that deep and that wide, and that high. That's what he's like. And to be able to love others in the name of the one who gave his life for us, when we realize the joy of that, it lifts our hearts. And we realize, even though we're horribly burdened and despairing sometimes, that God is good and we believe him. We hold on. So.
Don't you like when you were talking? I just felt my soul filling. And I don't know if you felt this, but I think your soul was filling as you were just reliving like that emotional. That was beautiful. Thank you so much. I mean, but I just felt like this.
I
Presence of the
understand.
Holy Spirit just was beautiful in that moment.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Amen. Exactly right. Well, we're loved by a great God. Always
So
there. Amen.
you said earlier, which is interesting because your current book is anticipating heaven, but that you wrote down that you said in the morning you're anticipating the day. And I like that phrase. It's like an expectation of the Lord to show up and show off. It's exactly what he did at Target. We have to be available. And I ask the Lord regularly, like, give me your eyes, give me your ears, give me your words. My words get me in all kinds of trouble. But some of that is not being in such a rush. Right? Maybe you had two things you needed at Target. And if you would have just done your task list and left, would you have missed that opportunity? Which the Lord, like, he literally goes, here, it's like a little God moment. You two are going to bless each other right now. Right?
Totally.
And would you
And
have?
I'm someone who literally runs dogs as I'm going into the store. Sometimes I jog with my shopping cart because I'm, always in such a hurry. And we miss those moments. And the reality is, the more we discover those moments, I feel like God gives us more opportunity. It's like, if I can trust you with a little, I'll trust you with more. And he loves those moments. And we love those moments. So I recommend for anyone listening, start your day with that, expectation and anticipation of God's presence, his movement, and that he is going to use you today for his kingdom work if you're just available. And when you are, and like I walked out of Target, like I was late for everything that I had to do the rest of the day, but I felt like I was walking on air. And so it's a beautiful gift.
I like it. Can't put it in words. It's so special. Amen.
It's the projecting piety, I suppose. The people see a glow or light from you, and I mean, if you've got earbuds in, no one's going to talk to you. You're out of this. You're
That's
in
right.
the world, right?
You're not available.
You're focused on what you're doing. No one's going to come up and, it's that being open and ready. And I cheat two ways. One is I put posters that she's gotten for me in my office in the exam rooms from mission trips,
Oh, yeah.
and then I have patients.
Oh, that's a
A
wonderful idea.
great sheet, yeah, down the hallway too.
It opens
Yeah,
conversations.
or I just use kind of Christian speak. I'm here to serve, not be served. Or do people look at me? I had a completely secular orientation lady, younger, and that's what I said for volunteering. I'm here to serve, not be served. Just give me a call and I'll cook hamburgers for everybody. So
That is a, I love that. I'm here to serve and not be served. For a physician, especially a high level trauma surgeon like you, you're reaching people in their like critical need. And to have that perspective is so not what we see in the medical world. And it's really sad. I think they're there, but it's, I feel like we have a mission to change our profession with this mindset, and for the Christian physicians and clinical providers, just to remember who the great healer is, the great physician is.
that's right. Amen.
Yeah, I
Wow.
mean,
What?
yeah. Totally agree.
Amen.
The second that motion. Oh,
Yeah.
well, if I ever have to be in trauma, I want it to be in Dalton, Georgia.
I already signed up. I'm worth 21 cents or $2.10 in parts or something, right, Doc?
$2.2 million.
It's a lot, Joe.
Million.
Yeah.
2.2 million
Whoa.
in parts.
Lord, you put it together. I appreciate
Brain,
that.
kidneys, pancreas, lungs, gut, skin, bone.
It's gross.
Sorry. Just bring it down.
There's the whole list. I trust you. We've got a couple of minutes left. Steph, maybe could you do a 30-second for us and just tell
Sure.
people to check our website and follow you and pray for everybody and especially pray for Pamela also. You maybe just talk about our site a minute. Thank you.
Of course. Well, we love that you come and that you hang out with us each week. You can learn everything there is, well, not everything, a lot of things to learn about us at bbsradio.com/raising expectations. And right there at the top, there's a couple of ways that you can donate. We have the fancy QR code, we have the yellow donate button. Did you know yellow, you're more likely to purchase? That's why Amazon uses that color as well. You can also scroll down a little bit, and we have the snail mail way if you want to contact Pastor Joe and just write him a check. And one thing I always like to highlight is you can forego a coffee, and that donation can bless other people by hearing this show. I know not everyone can give, and so there's also other ways that you can just share. If one of these different episodes blesses you, share it with someone. You can see right there as you scroll down, we have our archive of past guests. The Lord has blessed us beyond the people that we have on here, the things we get to talk about. We're so fortunate, and there's ways to connect with each of us individually. And I don't know what happens past that. I think there's, oh, the books, Pastor Joe and my husband's book. And we're just really grateful that you guys come and join us each week. This is definitely the Lord's doing. And Pastor Joe has been so faithful to just honoring that. And so we thank you for just coming here and joining us each week.
Amen. And we are thankful that Stephanie does such a great job on that because two pastors and a doctor, we're not very good at it.
I've done so much like youth fundraising. I've been on every board that I didn't want to be on, and so pretty good at asking for it now.
We're kind of like
Doctor.
Stella, like who's on first, but he said
Yeah.
something that I had.
He's on second. Yeah,
Whatever.
there we go back and forth.
Whatever.
Doctor, we want to thank you for your support too. We appreciate that very much. God bless you in that way. And when your book comes out too, you could think about this. We'd love to put your book on our page and let people know that's available and let you know that you're with us when you can be. We'd love to have you back off and on like this. And we'd love to have your book on our page. And you can send them straight to you right off the page, however you do that. But if you want to be in the great library, we're going to catch up with the
I would
library.
love that.
Yeah. Okay,
And
good.
I'll join you guys anytime because I feel like I just feel so blessed. I don't know how else to put it. Like, this is a fun group. You guys are fun.
You know what I would love
A
to
lot of
suggest?
new
Because
perspectives
I would
and
love to hear you talk about some of your mission experiences and God moments. And I mean, you said you
okay.
met 3 times a year. Something is happening.
We're going to look at August. We're going to look for August, maybe in the back of your mind, in between you, wherever you're doing. And you could do it from anywhere. That'd be great. So I'll get a hold of Becky and you, and we'd love that to have you back. But we'll talk about the book too that way. But thanks for being with us. And Stephanie, again, thanks for all you do. Tank, love you, brother. Good to see you. And thanks. I feel like I'm really worth more than I ever realized. Thanks, Doc. Appreciate that. Paul, there's only one. Oh, love you, brother. Appreciate
love you. Love you too. You got time for a real quick statement from a guy named Bruce
over,
Larson?
Go quick.
Okay, yeah. It'll go over. Bruce Larson wrote this in his book. One day, on days when life seems difficult and I feel overwhelmed, as I do fairly often, it helps to remember in my prayers that all God requires of me is to trust Him and be His friend. I find that I can do that. And I just think that's a wonderful thought. You know, hold on.
Amen.
Yes. Dr. Pamela, thank you. It's always a joy.
Thank you again so much. You all have blessed me greatly.
You're a blessing. Thanks for you do. You're in our prayers daily, and I'll be back to touch with you guys. And that's awesome. Thanks so much. And all right, Steph, Tank, God bless you. Have a great day. And well, that's me. Never mind. That's the other one. I was looking for the other window. It's just me. I was looking for Ron. I'm sorry. Pray for Ron. That was scary.
Pray for Ron, too.
Yeah, pray for Ron, too. That's right. He's not there, but we'll pray for Ron and Roz. Happy anniversary and all the good things that go with that. That's great. So, all right, ladies and gentlemen, God bless you and keep you. And somehow through this week, may your divine appointments just come to fruition. May God speak, bless, and carry people in their problems through your witness to them. We love and appreciate all of you. It's a blessing to count you as our friends and to be with us. God bless you. See you next week. Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556, or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.